Let's clear out winter and clean up the lawn with Spring Black Friday savings at the Home Depot. Right now, get the Ryobi One Plus leaf blower for just $89 and make your lawn work easier with a powerful 90 miles an hour of clearing power. And with convenient online shopping, you can order on the app, pick up in store, and get outside sooner. Get your yard spring ready with the Ryobi One Plus leaf blower, now just $89 during Spring Black Friday at the Home Depot. How doers get more done.
You know you've got a comeback in you. When you take the next step, you're going to make it count. For your career, for your family, for your life. You can earn a degree you're proud of with Purdue Global. Purdue Global is backed by Purdue University, one of the nation's most respected and innovative public universities. This is your chance. This is your opportunity. This is your comeback. Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
Tomboy X, the queer-founded clothing line that's inclusive and sustainable. Underwear, swimwear, and more for all bodies. So you can feel good about protecting the goods. Use the code IHEART to get 20% off your first purchase, only at tomboyx.com.
This is Pridecast with Jonathan Bennett
and James Vaughn
on iHeartRadio. Hey, what's up, everybody? It's Jonathan Bennett, and this is iHeartRadio's Pridecast, your weekly dose of love, laughter, and hopefully a little inspiration. And a reminder to be proud of who you are. I am joined, of course, by my handsome, hunky, hot, hey, that's alliteration, three H's, handsome, hunky, hot husband, Hames Hahn. This is Hames Hahn. Gosh. What if, babe, what if your name was Hames Hahn and then it was five H's? Hunky, hot, Hames Hahn. Actually, it's James Vaughn, but you know the rest.
We just got back from our honeymoon, yes. And this is how he chooses to engage
with
me after such a magical week.
We had such a magical week, and it's even more magical right now. How am I not engaging you by saying, what if your name was Hames Hahn? First of all, I called you hot. I called you hot. I called you hunky. I called you handsome. Tell me where the downfall is in that conversation.
Just call me kind and say that you love me and I'm good.
You're kind and you I love you, but you're also so thick, hot. Baby. Hunky, handsome husband. That's four H's. I know. I've had a lot of iced coffee because when James is gone, I don't have a sensor on my Starbucks iced coffee intake. Oh, so this is my second venti iced coffee of the day, which, by the way, real quick news flash, if anyone knows of this, there's now chocolate malt powder at Starbucks that you can put in your iced coffees. I highly recommend you do it.
Here, iced coffee gaze, this is for you.
Iced coffee gaze, goodness. This sound right here. That sound right there, that's for you.
But we're not together right now because whilst enjoying our magical honeymoon, my mom got sick and
she got the vid.
Get vaccinated, folks, please.
Get vaccinated.
She had spent a little time in the hospital. And so I had to fly up to Virginia, cutting things a little short, to come make sure she's okay. So my baby went home. He's taking care of the dog. And I am here in Virginia helping take care of mom, which my brothers have been doing a fantastic job of prior. And it means we're separated and I can't moderate Jonathan's iced coffee intake. So I'm so sorry, everybody. But we did have a really magical honeymoon. We did have a really wonderful time.
We went on the Carnival Mardi Gras,
which is the biggest ship they got. Oh my gosh, it's huge.
There's a water slide. There's roller coasters. We literally had 7 days of just absolute fun. And I get it why Carnival's like tagline is Funderstruck. It's because when you go, I said Funderstruck, guys, not anything else. Funderstruck, get it? Like fun instead of thunder, funder. You get Funderstruck on Carnival, and you really do. Like it is, they've perfected the science of people going on a boat and having fun for a week. They do everything right. No notes. I have no notes. And usually James and I are the gays that have notes. We're like, that was great, but we have like a list of notes because we can't help ourselves. No notes.
You know what was beautiful about it for me too, though, baby, is that we went on there as a gay couple and I never once felt like we weren't welcome and safe to be ourselves the entire time. And that says a lot for progress because I sang on ships 18 years ago and it didn't always feel like that. And I really didn't know what was going to happen this time around. And it was really nice to feel like we were welcomed not just by, you know, everybody at Carnival, but the passengers.
Yeah, we played the newlywed game, nice. and we stole the show. Like, it was so cool. We played the newlywed game in front of everybody. Like, you know, just, and what I love is that some of the other employees there, some of the other staff members said, you know, sometimes, like, they have gay couples, lesbian couples up for the newlywed game, and that's just a normal thing, which I think is so cool for Carnival, because when you see it and you understand that people are married and they're in love, maybe this is the first time that people on that ship have been around someone that was out that they know of, because you don't know where people come from when they come to ships like this. So it's really cool that Carnival does that.
Well, back it up. I want to go into this newlywed game.
I want to go into how you used to work on the ships when you 18 years ago. James used to work on Carnival ships singing when the ships would still row, like when there was still rowing to get the ships from point A to point B. Like, James is out there like rowing the ship.
Somebody please drive to our place and get the
Palm
iced coffee.
Springs, baby. Come get my iced coffee. Come on.
So the newlywed game, what happens is there's three couples on stage, right? So there's the newlyweds, there's the people that have been married for some time, and then the people that have been married for the longest time of anybody on the cruise. So it ends up being like an older couple, kind of a middle-aged couple, and the newlyweds. And what was really fun about it was... Do you remember the moment in the show, baby, when everybody was given answers? They asked crazy questions. Like, if you...
They said, what's the weirdest place, or what's the most exciting place you've ever had ice cream, which is code relations. For sex.
And then they said
in the butt.
Baby, you did not say that, first of all.
Okay.
Second of all, oh my gosh, I'm so sorry. I'm embarrassed. this is why I have to be there with you when we do these. And third, there are other questions were like, If you were getting $1,000 for every time you had ice cream this week, how much money would you have? Which somehow we had different answers. But that's what makes it funny. And there was a point when everybody had picked something that, like, you're all playful, right? So, like, it's not, you're not really mad, but it's sort of like everybody's mad. And the guys that were from the other two straight couples both came over and joined me. Like, I was the prime pick of who you would want to be with.
Yeah.
But it was really cute in that moment that, like, nobody saw, like, gay couple, straight couple, any of that. And, like, I just chose, there is progress. And it's so beautiful because, like, everyone was just having a good time with us. And these guys were so comfortable and their heterosexuality that they could come over and play and joke with me. One of the dudes picked me up. So
So we would like to announce now that we are in a thruple with Bob from Indiana and his wife. So it's a Joe, quadruple. That's not real. That's all jokes,
baby,
people.
Put the coffee down, please.
I'm sorry. Hold on. I can't. I got to keep... But do you know what we did, James, on the way home from the honeymoon?
I know what we did. Let's talk about what we did.
We both got to watch on separate planes the first two episodes of All Stars, the winner season of Drag Race.
Which is a great segue into who our guest is today. Coming up is Peppermint, who was a huge star on her season and is doing so much now. But before we get to her and all the wonderful things she's doing, so proud of her, let's talk about these superstars.
Oh, my God.
Let's talk about All Stars. And oh, my gosh, what it's like to see 8 winners on the screen at one time.
It's probably, like, this is what heaven feels like. This is it. Like, this is as good as it gets in the world, people. Like, we get to watch this season. We are so addicted to Drag Race, and I'm so addicted to this season already. Like, the first episode was fierce, but the second episode, if you haven't seen the Snatch Game, let's just talk about the Snatch Game, because it is a masterclass in how to do Snatch Game. It's the best Snatch Game I've ever seen. It's why I woke up that day. It's why I'm alive this year, is for this actual episode. Because, like, Jinx Monsoon and everybody in the entire cast just crushed it. And even certain people that weren't crushing it crushed it by not crushing it. It's hard to explain. You just have to see the episode. But it was just so fun. And what I love about this season of All Stars is that there's a certain confidence with all the queens on the show. And I love that, because it's the difference. Like, for example, like, I know this is going to be a weird equation, but, like, when I do my Hallmark movie, the Christmas House, you have, like, Sharon Lawrence, Treat Williams, Robert Buckley, Anna, like, everybody in the cast has worked for decades. They've established themselves and they're very comfortable with who they are in the entertainment world, and it shows on screen, and it shows, like, in between takes. And, like, this cast, when you watch them, you know, a lot of times when you have a new season of Drag Race, there's a lot of insecurities that pop up with the queens because obviously it's their first time on television. They want to win. They're insecure already just because they're being, you know, exposing themselves in this like very vulnerable way to go on the show and like kind of show who they are. It's a very vulnerable place to be. And with that comes insecurity. And with insecurity comes an energy and a vibration that isn't appealing sometimes. And here to get to see everyone just sit and be grounded in who they are in this world. They're all winners. It just makes it so much fun for the audience to watch.
Well, baby, I think what the words you're looking for here is what the great poet Shangela Laquifa Wadley said. Professional. You are looking at girls who are all professionals.
Yes.
And that's what it is. Like, even when you watch like Snatch Game, when Jada Essence Hall is doing this version of Prince that is so not Prince, but she has such a confidence to her that you don't care right. that she's not doing Prince because you're like, I just want to watch you do whatever you're doing right now because you're so cool in this moment. And they all have that. It's just, it's really fun to see because we never get to see that. And that's why I'm so glad they are eliminating no one and we get to see everybody have this journey.
And when Jinx Monsoon starts to teach a class about comedy, I'm going to be the first one to sign up for it because Jinx Monsoon is, I bow down to her as the best comedic drag queen I've ever seen.
Yeah, that, well, that's when on season 5 when she was on, that's when I fell in love with her, when she did Little Edie. And I had no clue Little Edie was, but it was the most hilarious thing I've ever
how
seen.
How do you not know who Little Edie was?
Because I hadn't seen Grey Gardens till you showed it to me, baby. And then it was still kind of, I'm sorry, take away my gay card. It was boring. I couldn't get through it. Like, I'd rather watch Jinx recreate every scene from Grey Gardens
baby,
than actually watch Grey Gardens.
Baby, we don't need to take away your gay card. Everyone, let me tell you, he's pretty gay, okay? He does some pretty gay things. Let me just say that, all right?
And on that, let's introduce our
first guest and only guest, because we only have one guest an episode, the one and only fabulous Peppermint.
Who will be with us right after this.
Diamonds Direct Spring Sale starts this weekend. Get 20% off rings, earrings, pendants, bracelets, and more. It's the best store-wide sale of the season. Plus, book an appointment and get an additional $100 off. That's 20% off plus $100 off store-wide. And enjoy an expanded selection of the latest styles with designer appearances each weekend. Tons of engagement rings on sale, too. 20% off starts Friday and opens Sundays. Details at DiamondsDirect.com.
Meet Tomboy X. Makers of the original boxer briefs for women, Tomboy X designs gender and size inclusive underwear and apparel. Use code IHEART at checkout for 20% off your first purchase only at TomboyX.com.
Are you on the hunt for a new home this spring, but don't know where to start? Fisher Homes is your solution. Your new home should reflect you from the front door to the kitchen and even your outdoor space. Start your journey by selecting your ideal home site, like in a cul-de-sac or that's tree-lined, and then choose from a variety of expertly designed floor plans. Bring it all together at our Lifestyle Design Center. Let Fisher Homes be your new home solution this spring and start making memories at fisherhomes.com.
All right, we are joined by the one and only LGBTQ plus icon. I mean, I would say icon, right?
You would absolutely say icon plus plus.
Plus, I mean, plus, yeah. Plus icon.
The iconic legend, icon.
Legend, maybe? I think all of the above. The one and only Miss Peppermint joins us on PrideCast. Welcome.
I love that you just slid into frame on the screen too. You gave dramatic entrance. I mean, we're so excited to be talking to you. I mean, you are, gosh, besides a talent, you're such a trailblazer and you're an activist and you're just a voice for the community in so many ways. And it's just such an honor to have you here. Thank you. Thank you for joining us.
Well, thank you for having me. I hope I can live up to this praise.
Oh, girl, you already have. You already have.
Well, because, all right, so Jonathan was like a New York kid back in the day in the scene, so like knows of Peppermint. And then me being the biggest Drag Race fan in the entire world was a huge Peppermint stan during that phase of your life. And then now with everything that you're doing, I think just like beyond both of us, the world is a Peppermint stan. What do we even dive into first when you're so accomplished and have so many projects happening right now? I mean, every burner is full for you, girl.
Well, I mean, we can start anywhere you want. I'm used to taking all types of angles and positions.
Yes, ma'am. I mean, let's start with, you know, we should start with. So we were driving around town listening to the album. Part two is out. Let's talk about the music, because I mean, that's such a big thing with what you got going on right now with your touring, with the, it's Moment of Weakness, Letters to My Lovers. And
it all starts with the music. Yeah. Yes. You know, thank you for that. Well, listen, during the pandemic, in addition to rediscovering Stouffer's French bread pizza, can we
please? Which is bomb.
It was delicious. It was a moment for me during the pandemic. I had just gotten off of out of a very robust relationship, romantic relationship, where I was in love and my heart was broken. So I don't know if it was the pandemic or the breakup, but I was eating that French bread pizza. Oh. And when I wasn't eating that pizza, I just took the moment to write down all the feelings, the ups and downs, the good, the bad, and the ugly into what became three full diaries of feelings and emotions. And then I ended up eventually tweaking those all into three albums worth of songs, which represent the beginning, the middle, and of course the end of that relationship. And I set it to music, and the rest is history. The whole project, the relationship, is called Letters to My Lovers, but each installment has a different title. So it's, the first one was A Girl Like Me, Letters to My Lovers. This one, of course, is Moment of Weakness, which is basically Moment of Weakness, the song and sort of the title is about that moment where you're gonna break up, or you've broken up, and the first time you see your ex after the breakup, like, what's going to happen? Crunchy. Is it like an awkward, oh, you look good? Right. Or is it like, you know, I how dare you? And you stab them and go to jail. I don't know what's going to happen. Or like, maybe you'll just start having sex on the floor. Who knows? I'm down for all of it.
Yeah. You're like, I'm not against any of them.
Yeah.
All are possible outcomes. There's two volumes. There'll be a third, correct?
There will be a third. The third one is called Validation, which is about it's basically the rising from the ashes after the relationship and after after the healing has started to take place. And so that's Validation, and that comes out next year.
And is this all about, when you say Letters for My Lovers, is this all the same person, or is it all based on the same person, or is it multiple versions, multiple lovers that we need three volumes?
Because you said lovers.
You said
lovers, plural.
You said lovers. I was like, there's three volumes. We need some room.
Just saying, based on the context of the songs, like, I need to, who hurt you?
It could be that I was feeling so many different ways and so many different feelings with this one person. He treated me. He was a completely different person the day we met than he was the day we broke up. Maybe that's the different lovers. Or maybe it is that these experiences were kind of reminiscent of previous experiences, and I needed to look to my past in order to figure out how to navigate the present and the future. And these are all different types of experiences, all rolled into one. Of course, there's a lot of things that I would have said to my ex-boyfriend that I would have said or have said to previous lovers in the past. But ultimately, I think realistically, as a trans woman, and it's certainly as queer people, I think we are in some ways less equipped to navigate the world of love and relationships. If you look at film and television and entertainment and society and commercials and books and everything we take in as sort of a preparation for life, then of course romantic, how to be a good husband, how to be a good wife, even though there's no quick, you know, fix for that. I think folks who are not in the queer community get a certain type of training just through living life and maybe seeing their family members and their parents as sort of a model. But I think queer people have less of a model that's out in public, so we have to kind of do it in maybe less conventional ways. Certainly as a trans woman, there is not really any experience of seeing myself reflected, let alone seeing someone love a trans person. I think if you think of a trans person, you think of us as individuals, not surrounded by anyone that we love. No one loves us. We're just alone. and we're just doing our thing. And maybe in 2020, 2022, we're strong teachers who teach people about, you know, being valiant, but we don't necessarily have people that are connected to us who talk about loving us in ways, in many different ways. And so that was really important for me to put into an album, to show folks that it is possible, to show trans folks, it's possible to be loved and receive love, but even more importantly, to show others that it is possible and good to talk about your love of trans people publicly.
Oh, I love that. And I just imagine it's got to be so therapeutic, because like it's twofold. So you are healing through writing this music, but at the same time, you are inspiring and letting other people feel seen and be seen by your music. I mean, how's it's got to feel good, right? Like it's just all that's just got to feel good.
Oh, it definitely does. It feels good to be, you know, I think I've had these feelings obviously for a while, but no one was really interested in, I don't know if anybody's interested in hearing it today, but they definitely weren't interested in hearing it 20, 30, 40 years ago, right? And so no one was wanted, there was no space in the world right. where you could listen to find a Black trans woman singing about her experience and singing R&B, 90s R&B.
Mm-hmm, yes, mm-hmm, yes.
Could not find that. And so I'm providing it and it feels great.
I mean, but that's the thing. You sit here and you say, you know, from your experience, you didn't have anyone to look up to. You never heard anyone telling these stories. You realize with you, Peppermint, that ends today. That is no longer a thing that is a fact. That is now history, because you have changed history. You are the person doing it. You are humanizing the experience. You're humanizing the experience and showing, hey, here's what I am as a human being with feelings, with heart, with emotions, where I, you know, it's not a spectacle.
Yeah. You know, and I think I wanted to take that step for so long. I was afraid to be the one to do that because I know that people love me from Drag Race and they love, like, I had a little lip sync moment and they want that fierceness and they just want some glitter and just be on stage and make us feel what we are telling you we want us to feel.
Right.
But, you know, and those things are great, honey. I love the art of drag. Wow. Once a queen, always a queen.
Yes, yes.
But even the queens have feelings, the same feelings as everybody else. We want to be loved. We want to be adored and cherished more than just by fans that are like throwing money. And don't believe me, do not stop throwing the money.
Yeah.
But
we'll put your Venmo in at the end.
Hello. Let me talk about the some of the things and that we go through. And I think the trend has been moving in the right direction over the past decade or so in terms of being progressive. But definitely post 2020, there's a lot more conversations that everyone is involved or ready or interested in having that they weren't prior to 2020. And I'm just taking advantage of that.
Well, and when you think Peppermint, you think first in all these spaces. You were the first girl to come out as trans on Drag Race. Am I correct with that?
I'm the first. It gets kind of muddy.
Yeah.
On the show. On the show.
Right.
Prior, I guess the important note is that I was out as trans prior to ever even going to the show.
To the show.
Right.
And then, so I walked into the workroom completely already just out. Now, the controversy for a lot of people is that they don't think I looked like, they didn't believe me because they don't look like I was trans. I don't even know what that means, but that's their cross to bear.
Exactly.
It's on record. I was out. And it feels good to have been able to contribute to some of that narrative, because certainly when I went on the show and before I went on the show, there was not a lot of, it wasn't like it is today. Today, like literally today, season 14, we have, you know, five women on the show. The winner is an out trans woman.
Yep.
And they all came out mostly during the process of the show, I believe. And it just feels so great that we can have a space for different types of identities that can come out in their own time, in their own way, when they're ready. And one of the things that I think was really interesting and just really touching and really resonated with me is specifically given my experience with Drag Race, having to balance Am I a good spokesperson for the community? Am I making them proud? Am I representing myself well? Am I doing myself dirty? Am I a good trans woman to look up to? Or am I being a good representation? Or would I be proud of myself? Like all of these questions that you ask, am I being a good queen? Because sometimes especially back in 2016, there was a lot of, you're either a drag queen or a trans woman, and there's nothing linking it. Right. And so I was like wrestling with all that on my season. So seeing all of the trans representation, but specifically during the finale, Miss Cornbread coming out and dressed in sort of a Beauty and the Beast melange of the two, I thought was beautiful, because what she had to say about it was that, you know, the beauty of being trans has less to do with what surgeries you've had and what you look like on the outside and whether people believe that you're a beautiful woman or not, and just about who you are. And so beauty isn't the eye of the beholder, and it comes from within. I mean, I'm paraphrasing, and I don't mean to stick words in her mouth, but that's basically what she was conveying. And so I thought that was just really beautiful.
Well, yeah, because it is evolving, and we're all learning, like as fans of the show, we're learning a lot of stuff too. As somebody myself from the South, I feel like it was kind of different in our clubs. I feel like the trans girls were represented a lot when you went to see a drag show. So like, I just knew that world, and that just kind of made sense to me. And I didn't realize there were a lot of people that didn't know that those girls were in this world and killing it in this world. And you want to talk about not saying somebody's words for them. I don't want to tell her story, but I moderated the panel for season 2 of Drag Race at DragCon a couple years back. And this was pre-All-Stars. Mm-hmm. And Kylie is a good friend of mine. And we got talking a little bit about what her experience was like on her season when she basically, I don't want to get the wrong words, but she wasn't allowed to be herself. And she wasn't allowed to continue to grow into herself if she wanted to be a part of that process. So that to me just blew my mind, because I was like, whoa, like this is like, I remember being in Oz and in New Orleans, and like that's just, these girls were always performing. They were part of the drag scene. It blew my mind that these girls were not in the mainstream yet. So then to fast forward to see then her snatch the crown at All Stars being her full authentic self. And Peppermint, I mean, I just got to say, like, it is, it's girls like you that like stepped up and just, you were yourself on the show, and you made people go, oh, okay. Because sometimes it's just that. Sometimes it's just being you and people seeing you because they haven't had the chance to see someone like you anywhere yet. And then it clicks and they go, oh, well, I was stupid. Okay, I'm sorry. All right, moving on. This is what it is now. And like, you were at the forefront of that. So like, I do have to really applaud you for that as somebody who is a big fan of the show and a big fan of trans girls in drag.
I'm just really happy to be a part of that legacy. And I'm so proud of Kylie, and I'm so proud of, it feels like it's just her just desserts coming back and snatching the
yes,
crown.
Yes, ma'am, it certainly was.
Being an originator on the show. And it just goes to show that even though there was controversy and some, a little bit of tension about whether or not we belong in the show or should be or could be, or whether it made sense or what was gonna happen, here we are and we are dominating, and it makes the show better. It makes everything better. I want every show to have a trans person on there, because that's life.
Yep. Right? Exactly. That's just life. Yeah. I mean, that's what I feel like my baby does with his Hallmark movies. It's the same thing of just show people something that you haven't seen so it can click. It's the same thing that always happened with my family. My family like didn't understand, like, I don't, like, they were so anti-gay and so homophobic. And then like they just saw me come out and be in a loving relationship. And it was like light bulbs. Oh, okay. All right, we get it because we've seen it. So we're in a really unique, special time in life where we're getting to be those people that just live our lives authentically and loudly and help change people and their minds and hearts because of that. So I think we're all really fortunate.
I think we are too. You know what? Because Peppermint is making history. Speaking of history, we have LGBTQ plus history when we come back after this break. We'll be right back.
Diamonds Direct Spring Sale starts this weekend. Get 20% off rings, earrings, pendants, bracelets, and more. It's the best store-wide sale of the season. Plus, book an appointment and get an additional $100 off. That's 20% off plus $100 off store-wide. And enjoy an expanded selection of the latest styles with designer appearances each weekend. Tons of engagement rings on sale, too. 20% off starts Friday and opens Sundays. Details at DiamondsDirect.com.
Meet Tomboy X. Makers of the original boxer briefs for women, Tomboy X designs gender and size inclusive underwear and apparel. Use code IHEART at checkout for 20% off your first purchase only at tomboyx.com.
Are you on the hunt for a new home this spring, but don't know where to start? Fisher Homes is your solution. Your new home should reflect you from the front door to the kitchen and even your outdoor space. Start your journey by selecting your ideal home site, like in a cul-de-sac or that's tree-lined, and then choose from a variety of expertly designed floor plans. Bring it all together at our Lifestyle Design Center. Let Fisher Homes be your new home solution this spring and start making memories at fisherhomes.com.
All right, Peppermint. So what we love to do on Pridecast is we like to talk about LGBTQ plus history, little moments in LGBTQ plus history, because if we want to know where we're going, we have to always remember where we came from. So we like to do a segment we call This Week in Gay History. We're about to school you, Peppermint.
This
Here we go.
This one's really special to me. As somebody that attends gay days at Disney, I think this is really cool. So in 1978, this week in LGBTQ plus history, more than 15,000 gay men and lesbians attended a special gay night at Disneyland to benefit the Los Angeles Gay Community Services Center. It's the largest private party that the theme park has ever had, according to the research that was done by our producer. So I'm going to go with
Raymond.
That because that sounds like a lot. But in 1978, if they did that, that's amazing. And I certainly believe that our community would show up and show out. And I love stuff like that because that's the predecessor to things like gay days, to things like the events that we were able to go. I just remember like first time going and like being at Disney and like every time you saw a red shirt, it was like, oh, I'm not alone. Oh, there's more of us. And it just made you feel stronger and stronger about yourself. And like now fast forward, like, I mean, obviously we're still out and proud. We don't care, but I'm being like a little 20-year-old and seeing those red shirts and feeling safe. So I love that that happened in history. You ever been to a gay days?
You been to Peppermint. Gay days, Peppermint?
I haven't been to gay days, at least not in Disney for sure. But I'm just so happy, especially hearing this historic moment and that this is our day in history. And that I didn't realize it had been going on since 1970, but I'm really happy that, you know, this year with a lot of the conversation that had gone place publicly in Florida with Governor DeSantis and Don't Say Gay Bill, to see Disney, you know, coming out strong to, you know, in support of the LGBTQ plus community, even though it looks like the story is not finished. There's going to be some more happening about that, but it just feels so great to see them actually, what I believe, standing on the right side of history. And so, yeah, I've never been to a gay days. And I know, I don't know if that's the same. Well, is that also one magical weekend?
They all kind of happen at the same time. I'm not the authoritative spokesperson.
I mean, it is a magical weekend.
Yeah, it's a separate weekend.
You put a few thousand gays in one place. It's magical. Let me tell you.
What's going to happen? Something's going to happen.
Love is going to be found. Love is going to be lost.
Hold on to your ears, Minnie Mouse.
Peppermint's going to create volume 4 of Letters to Her Lovers. It's going to be a whole thing.
Now, we're sitting here talking about all the things here on Pridecast, that all the accomplishments that you've done, Peppermint, all the things that you're going to do. And it's all about being proud of yourself here on Pridecast. It's about being proud of who you are. That's why we do Pridecast. So we ask this question. What does pride mean to you?
It feels like I have the opportunity, thankfully, to have a different answer to that question every year, every time I think about it, every time I'm asked. And so, of course, it's about community. Of course, it's about being able to be yourself freely and safely and sort of out loud. And so this year, Pride for me is really about being able to do all of those things and also focus on allowing those who love us, whether it's a family member, romantic partner, society, to do it just publicly. There's a quote that I like to say, it just resonates with me every time I even say it. It's a quote by Cornel West, who says, justice is what love looks like in public. Mm. And Ooh. It really just resonates with me because there are so many moments where our community needs justice. When we're talking about LGBT youth, gay youth, trans youth, and in states like Florida, Texas, Alabama, you know, South Dakota, you name it, there's lots. And these anti-trans and anti-queer bills that are being proposed to keep LGBT youth from gaining access to sports, to healthcare, to bathrooms, again, to all of these different things. In addition to the impending Roe v. Wade decision, which looks like it might not turn out the way we want, which is, you know, abortion access and reproductive justice is a queer issue. It is a trans issue as well as a women's issue. You know, all of these things happening, those things to me are the opposite of justice. And so that quote really resonates with me. And I think we could use some public love, people to talk about us and beam about us publicly. And that's why, you know, I mean, that's why this album that I have, it's just, it feels like it's just at the right time. And so I'll be beaming with pride this June and July when I'm on tour, singing these songs in public for people to see. Hopefully it'll be another page of their tour or their pride experience, because I know that for a lot of people, especially the early days of pride, is about going out and just like, you know, losing yourself in the crowd. But then there are other opportunities for people to really engage and have an intimate experience. And I'm excited to be able to provide that.
Isn't it interesting how pride changes every single year? Like we think we know what it is. And then it next year you're like, oh, no, but something completely different now. And that's what I love about the queer community is that it's always ever changing. It's never the same place. It's never in the same place each year. It's always different because we're learning more about each other because of people like Peppermint and doing what they're doing and all the activism that's going on. People are able to grow and change and learn. And the whole community just expands as a whole. And it's so beautiful.
Yeah, I'm listening to you talk and I'm still processing everything that you said about like loving you and building you up and all that. What else can we do? What else, not only like the cisgendered people in the queer community, but cisgendered people in general, what can we do to be better activists for the trans community to help progress continue?
I mean, just being open is certainly a great first step. I think in terms of like publicly and social media, just uplifting someone in your life who's trans, it really is interesting because a lot of people, according to a Pew poll, 90% now of people in the United States say that they do not know someone personally who is trans.
Wow.
Which is like, that's a lot of people. And that's most of the people. And so a lot of people may not have the opportunity to sort of meet or uplift somebody who is in their life who's trans because they don't know them. And so what the people who do know someone who is trans or even in the queer community should do, I think, is just talk about those people publicly. Again, uplift them publicly and give them opportunities for jobs. Consider them for different types of things because we are more than just entertainers. We are more than just people in Hollywood. We're more than just that girl who does the show at the thing. Mm-hmm. You know, these, you know, trans women of color, specifically Black trans women, are at the losing end of the of terrible lopsided murder rates and statistics. You know, there, I think, have so far this year, I don't know how many, the number of murders of trans women of color and trans people overall in the United States just seems to rise every year, gets higher and higher every year, which is terrible. And a lot of those crimes and acts of violence are committed by our partners, our romantic partners, our boyfriends, our lovers. And so, you know, that's that's not really a bright and sunny outlook, but, right. You know, what people can do is not shame someone. If somebody comes around and brings their transgender girlfriend or boyfriend, accept them and invite them into the fold just like you would anybody else, and creating spaces for our partners and the people who love us to feel free to do that without feeling judged or it's sort of like this internalized sort of homophobia and transphobia happens around the notion of being the lover of a trans person. And if we could try to remove that as society And the people who are outside of the queer community stop doing that. And people inside of the queer community do that to our partners as well. People, I'm not gay. I'm a straight woman. Surprise! And I think that's that actually comes as a surprise to a lot of people.
Yeah. Absolutely.
I think that speaks a lot to your heart, though, Peppermint. Like, ask what we could do. And you said, help our partners feel supported. I mean, that's beautiful that your heart goes there. So,
right?
Claps to you for that. You make me feel all warm and fuzzy and sweet over here.
And I have a really important question I want to ask you, Peppermint. All stars. You have to pick one.
Wait, the all winter season right now?
The
you could do this to her?
All winter season. I'm going to do it. All stars. If you said, okay, magic wand, boom, that's my choice. Who is it going to be?
If I could just choose today, not having seen any of the episodes.
Not seen the show. Just like, hey, boom, magic wand. The magic rue wand. Ding.
Wait, you're gonna have to.
And also not knowing and some of the tea that I know.
Okay.
I would
the tea aside.
I would probably say, I mean, honestly, I'm torn between, I mean, they're all so great.
They're all so good.
Choice, that's what's crazy. But I'm torn between two. My niece, Monet Exchange.
Mm-hmm.
Or either of my season 9 sisters, mm-hmm. Trinity the Tuck or Shea Coulee.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And justifiably so on all those accounts. Your niece, your season. Also, you know why Peppermint's a leader? Safe answers in that sense.
Hey,
she's like, I know them because no one's going to shame her. She said, they're going to say, oh, you picked your niece and your season. Okay, we'll get her. Well, one's going to come at her. How did you not pick this person? How did you say that? Why would you say that? Like, no one's going to come after her. And you know what? We support you.
I'm going to make you do this because you have no way to get out of this. So people can tell you, you shouldn't have picked a favorite. I'll go ahead. I'm going to say it on record because Shea Coulee. Sorry, I'm going to say it on record. Shea Coulee. I just think she's a superstar.
She's
from the
fierce
minute she walked in on your season. She's just a daggone superstar. When her all-star season happened and she walked in, I was like, well, that's cute for everybody else to come play and enjoy and have a good time. This will be fun to watch, but this is Shea's season. I just think she's spectacular and she's a superstar. So like my money, if you made me bet right now, would be on Shea Coulee. And you don't got to say anything, Peppermint. I know you know T and I know these are people that you care about and their family and stuff, but like I'm going to put my money on it.
I put my money on Willow Pill, even though
she's not on this.
I know, but I'm still putting my money on her because I love Willow Pill.
She's gonna pop out of a box.
I mean, I just pray that maybe she'll
she could
everyone
just sashay up in there. I mean, you never know.
Willis Angela, pop
you
out
know
the box.
Her. Oh my god, I love her so much. No,
that's a cop out answer, baby.
No, it's the best answer because I'm always gonna be a Willow fan. Peppermint, before you go, we ask everyone the same question because we think it's important. There's so many times that we talk about our community and say how hard it is. And we are honest about the struggles that we are going through because they are real. But on the other side of those struggles and on the other side of everything, there is light and there is hope and there are amazing things. So we ask you, what is your favorite thing about being part of the LGBTQ+ community? What's your favorite thing about being queer?
I had the chance to listen to Dr. Angela Davis recently after having spoken with her on Black Queer Town Hall, which is an event that I put together with Bob the Drag Queen. And Dr. Angela Davis, who is queer, part of the queer community, says that she believes that trans people, and specifically trans people, but also gender nonconforming people, have a certain freedom from the very, very oppressive binary of gender that allows us to look outside of the box. And perhaps shows us meaning humanity, sort of an option for the future that's free of some of the stuff that gender roles and the patriarchy stifle us with. And so I think that's my favorite thing. I do think, even though the price that we pay for being free and open and really at sometimes self-content and knowledgeable about who we are, more knowledge about who we are and more connected to our own authenticity, the price for that in many situations is being bullied in school as a younger person, having some tough times with family as a younger person. And I don't want to reduce that because that is also character building. But I do think my superpower is having sort of this opened up sense of who I am and those around me that I don't know that I'd even be looking to find or have access to if I were cisgender and heterosexual and not a part of the queer community, because mm-hmm. everything would be sort of prescribed for me mm-hmm. in that regard.
Absolutely.
Superpower. That's the word I always use too. It is. It's a superpower, girl. We are fortunate. We are lucky.
We have the superpower, and when people like you use them for such good, it's how the world changes. Before we go, we like to shout out people in our community in a segment we call Me and James Shining Our Big Gay Spotlight on people of the LGBTQ plus community that are doing awesome things. So James, tell us about this week's Big Gay Spotlight.
I didn't really take good notes on it because I was it's a book with a lot of pictures and I thought it was really cool. But so check this out. So gay author Eric Rosswood did this book because he wants LGBTQ plus kids to believe in themselves. So it's a children's picture book. It's called Strong, and it tells the story of Rob Kearney. Baby, I showed you him before. Yes. Rob Kearney is that power lifter guy that wears like the bright colors and has the bright hair. And he's like, I think he's the first openly gay strongman in the sport of, you know, the strongman stuff, yeah. like lifting all the things.
I can pull an airplane or I can lift a bus.
Yeah. But the book is all about how like he's not being bright and colorful. And then he meets the guy who tells him, hey, you're special. I'll be bright and colorful with you so you feel strong enough to be bright and colorful yourself. And it's just, I mean, not even for LGBTQ plus, because for any kid out there to hear that message of you can be bright, you can shine, you can be different. And look, there's people that will love you for it and do it with you.
And you can still, and you're strong. Being bright does not mean that you are not strong.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that's beautiful. So big gay spotlight on author Eric Rosswood, but also on Rob Kearney, the strong man that it's based on. Both of y'all, thanks for being so fabulous and living loudly so I can shine my big gay spotlight on you. And not to put you on pressure, not to put you on the spot, Peppermint, but you got anybody you'd want to shine your big trans spotlight on that's doing something amazing out there that you would love to just shout out?
You just want to say, hey, I see you.
Hey, I see you. Right now, I am into this person is not of trans experience, but my spotlight can go on everybody. Is an author, Sonya Renee Taylor, who also is, you can find her very, very fabulous musings on her Instagram and social media, where she comments on everything going on. I just really enjoy her style of delivery and teaching. It's not a children's person necessarily, but they are doing some great work in the community. Sonya Renee Taylor, check her out in her new
book. Sonya Renee
her
Taylor.
Right now, I just we'll followed her.
We'll just follow her right now. Hope I get a follow back. just want those followers,
so
you know?
Thirsty for
just,
a follower.
Just follow. Oh my goodness. Follow for a follow back? Okay, here we go. Oh, Peppermint,
before
you.
We let you go, though, because you have all the stuff coming up in the tour and all that, we want to make sure that if anybody is sitting at home taking copious notes and doesn't know how to jump on the Google or jump on your Instagram and get the information, how can they see you on tour?
People can just go to my website, peppermintonline.com/events for tickets. The tour kicks off in July. In Chicago. I am from Chicago. I'm not from Chicago.
Yes,
that's for the drag race fans in you. Yeah. July 2nd, it kicks off. We're going all over the country to Georgia. Cities all over the country. Atlanta, Oakland, Los Angeles, Portland, Oregon, Seattle, Philly, Boston, and of course, Brooklyn, New York. And so everybody's invited.
Peppermint, we could literally talk to you all day. You're so wonderful.
Thank you so much, Peppermint, for joining us here on Pridecast and all the history that you're making. Thank you on behalf of us and the community for all that you do, Peppermint.
James and Jonathan, it is my absolute pleasure. And I was so excited to get the chance to chat with you.
Bye, Peppermint.
Bye, girl.
Bye.
Girl, bye.
Girl, bye. Bye, bitch.
Diamonds Direct Spring Sale starts this weekend. Get 20% off rings, earrings, pendants, bracelets, and more. It's the best store-wide sale of the season.
Plus, book an appointment and get an additional $100 off. That's 20% off plus $100 off store-wide. And enjoy an expanded selection of the latest styles with designer appearances each weekend. Tons of engagement rings on sale too. 20% off starts Friday and opens Sundays. Details at DiamondsDirect.com.
Meet Tomboy X. Makers of the original boxer briefs for women, Tomboy X designs gender and size inclusive underwear and apparel. Use code IHEART at checkout for 20% off your first purchase only at TomboyX.com.
Are you on the hunt for a new home this spring, but don't know where to start? Fisher Homes is your solution. Your new home should reflect you from the front door to the kitchen and even your outdoor space. Start your journey by selecting your ideal home site, like in a cul-de-sac or that's tree-lined, and then choose from a variety of expertly designed floor plans. Bring it all together at our Lifestyle Design Center. Let Fisher Homes be your new home solution this spring and start making memories at fisherhomes.com.